Hello, hello. This is Add This to Your List, episode 61. You are here listening to your fabulous co-host, Fumi Simano, Mark J. Parker, and Tom Chuba. Hi, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Hello. That was such a chipper, amazing intro, Foom. What's gotten into you?
I know, but there were only two hellos. There's usually three, Foom.
Ooh. Well, you know, I'm switching it up, and I know how to turn it on, you guys.
Yeah.
The camera is on, and I know how to give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
You know?
Hear that, listeners?
You know, I'm a professional.
Love it.
How are you guys doing? How has your week been? How has your weekend been?
Mine was good. I just got back from a little birthday celebration in Woodstock, which is such an awesome place. Have you guys ever been to Woodstock? Tom, you've been.
No.
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's in the Catskills.
Where is it?
Cute little town.
What'd you say?
In the Catskills.
It's in the Catskills. It's only really, it was maybe a little more than 2 hours on Friday with traffic and some bad weather from Westchester. So,
that's not bad at all.
Figure, you know, with traffic and everything, maybe 3 hours from the city. It's a great weekend trip, but perfect weather. Friday night, it was just crazy because it was raining and snowing. It was raining here, snowing up there, so that was kind of crazy. But then Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, when we were in the Catskills 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
At a cabin, it was snowing
totally.
As well. Like, a lot of snow. And it was so weird because we turned onto this one road where the elevation started going up dramatically. And, as soon as we made a left onto that road, the rain turned right to snow. But and you could draw a line right where rain and snow were. It was just odd. It
totally.
Was unbelievable.
It's like, all of a sudden, all you see is white. Yeah. It's funny how, like, late March and early April, you forget or still winter in certain places. So
yeah,
are they prepping for Woodstock 2019?
I didn't see anything.
Like, did you see a lot of advertisements or anything
not
like
at all.
That?
No. Oh, that's right, because Woodstock was 69, right? Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, that's funny, Tom. I didn't even think about that. I didn't see anything at all about that. No. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Huh. I don't like the lineup.
Who is the lineup? I don't know anything about it.
I feel like Jay-Z is definitely playing there, but then other names I was like, really? If you chat for just a second, I'll look it up.
That's interesting. I feel like
didn't they do the Woodstock thing before and it didn't end very well?
Yes, remember they brought it back. What was that already? Like, was it in 1999 or something like that?
I thought so.
And I feel like it ended in flames. Like, they were like fires and like destruction, right? Or am I making that up?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember the specifics, but I feel like it did not end well and people were like really upset and hungry and it was like very dirty and disgusting.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that's how, yeah. So the lineup is Akon. I'm just going to rattle off just a few names because it's a lot of fucking people. Akon, Anderson East, who's Miranda Lambert's most recent ex-boyfriend, Common, David Crosby, let's see. Imagine Dragons, Jay-Z, Janelle Monáe, Maggie Rogers, Miley Cyrus.
I see The Killers.
Taylor Bennett. Yep, The Killers, The Lumineers. Yep, Marcus King Band. So yeah, I'm kind of like.
Wow. I mean,
not your thing.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, music festivals in general are really not my thing. They just honestly sound awful. Oh, no. No way. But yeah, Tom, I didn't see anything about that. That's interesting. I think also because, you know, a lot of people don't realize the actual Woodstock didn't happen in Woodstock, you know? And
right.
This is supposed to be happening in Watkins Glen, New York. So, wow. Yeah.
Where did the actual Woodstock happen?
It happened in another town that I actually went to years ago when I was catering, and it was stunning, the land. But I can't remember. It's not far from there, but it's not actually in the town of Woodstock. It's like up in that region, but it's still, elsewhere. I'll have to look it up. I forget. But yeah, that was my weekend.
Okay.
How was yours?
Mine was good. I went and saw, well, I'm talking about it later, but I saw Pet Sematary on Friday. Yesterday, I went and hung out on the roof of a friend's house, and we just had wine and chatted and caught up and played games.
Nice.
A nice adult game night.
Ooh.
And then today, I went to Venice this morning because I had to return something. And then, you know, I'm always redoing my place. I'm always like,
you are always remodeling that shit. It's like that place is never done. It's always in flux.
Never, honey, never. Because, you know, design is just constantly working the mind. Wow. And so I went and got a new, well, I didn't get a new coffee table, but I had an old coffee table that I put in my bedroom because I got a new coffee table for my living room. But then I was like, I don't, why do I have this in my bedroom? It's ridiculous. Mm. It's taking up space. Mm-hmm. So then I gave that coffee table to a friend and I dropped that off this morning. Oh. Then came back and took numerous naps.
Ooh. Me too.
Numerous.
Like
wait,
three.
Wait. How do you take numerous naps? First of all, I'm someone that has a hard time just taking one nap. So what you
what?
Oh yeah, my brain can't really shut off until like late at night. Like it's so rare if I'm able to just fall asleep in the daytime.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
dude.
That is unfortunate.
But wait, how do you take multiple naps? Like, you wake up and you're like,
well, you know,
your body be tired.
Yeah,
that's how.
You get up and then it's like, God, I shouldn't really be sleeping the day away. But then you like lie back down and then you fall asleep again.
Yep.
And then you get up again and you're like, now I'm really going to get up. And then you sit back down and you fall asleep again. I think I took a good like 3 or 4 naps today.
Wow, that is so interesting. I have to say, one of the worst feelings in the world for me is taking a nap and then waking up and it's nighttime. And I'm like, wait, what? Like I it was daytime when I fell asleep. Now it's nighttime. I feel like the
whole
world is
that is always
disorienting. Yeah.
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 Huh.
Anyway.
That's unfortunate. Anyway, that was my weekend.
Nice. Fun fact real quick to go back to Woodstock. The original Woodstock in 1969 took place in Bethel, New York, which is an hour and a half's drive from Woodstock. So you know, fun fact there. Woodstock didn't happen in Woodstock. So anyway, moving on.
Let's do it.
Wait, Tom, are you not telling us what happened with your weekend, or did you go already?
Why did you... Yeah, Tom's, like, being secretive.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just thought we wanted to get into it since it's 7 minutes of BS already. my weekend was good. You know me, I'm always watching our time. My weekend was good. I just didn't do much at all. Like, Fumi, I took a lot of naps today. My allergies are really starting, so... I don't. April's a rough month because it's birthday month for me and Mark. But I never feel well during April because my allergies just kicked my ass.
Yeah, that's more.
That was my
for me,
weekend.
They start in April and then they get really worse in early May, like around Fumi's birthday. So that's like when I'm really in bad shape, like early May, like can't even see.
All right, let's get started. So today we're going to break down a couple bit of news. We don't really have housekeeping. We just have some more like headlines this week. And then we're going to get into our list. And then we're going to talk about CinemaCon because we discovered this last year. And it apparently was super huge.
Yeah, it seems like the coolest place to be.
Right?
Yeah, it really does. We are having FOMO. Major.
We're going to get into it. All right, Mark, you go first. Give us some headlines. Oh, I guess you do have a little bit of housekeeping.
I'll give both. My housekeeping's very little, but as you know, we've talked you know, in the past about these movie subscription services and of course Cinemia, which Tom and I both have, and I'm basically about to rip that up and cancel it. Yeah, it's just the past month, but really the past like 2 months, but especially the past month, most of March and now into April, it's been a mess. I haven't gotten my app to work. A lot of people have not been able to. Cinemia has been canceling people. I think they might have canceled me because I'm pretty sure the subscription I bought back in August was for a year. And all of a sudden I like went to use it in early March and they were like, hi, you need to renew. And I was like, what? And now I pay more money. Anyway, check out, if any of you are interested in this kind of Cinemia debacle and the whole movie subscription service debacle in general, check out IndieWire's article with the Cinemia CEO. His name, and I'm going to butcher it because he's foreign, it looks like it's Rifat Oguz. Just give that a read. I sent it to these guys offline and we chatted briefly the other day about it, but it's not a good look. The guy is quite defensive.
Nobody prepped him. It appears like he did not reach out to his corporate department, assuming he has one. Maybe he doesn't.
I mean, I would assume by now he's at least got like one person on like the publicity team for this company.
One would hope. I mean, I do this for a living, and I just cringed through the whole fucking thing.
Yes, Tom, agreed. It's very cringeworthy. He's quick to say, no, we don't have any issues. No, we weren't down, when it's like,
And then he's like, wait, what? Like, literally says, wait, what? Several times.
And the IndieWire interviewer, who I believe is Chris O'Fault, is my kind of sassy, and he's like, let me finish. Yeah, your app was down. It was not working for like a solid month. But yeah, just give that a read, because it is good, and it really just makes him and the whole company just look really, really sloppy. Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah.
I feel like, I guess it's just time to just let these things go, because they're just not working. And then as for my headline, it's not the biggest breaking news, but I thought it was really just an interesting kind of business side of entertainment. As you guys have heard last week, we talked about, like, you know, the WGA versus their agents. I thought this was really interesting. So Ezra Miller, really unique, quirky, queer actor who's done different things.
Weird dude. Yeah,
super weird.
But talented.
But very talented and super fun. I'm totally into him. He has been the Flash in the DC movies for the last few years, you know, Justice League and, you know, Batman versus Superman, all that stuff. So I guess, you know, we know DC has sort of stumbled, and now that they're going with more lighter kind of tone with their movies between Wonder Woman and Aquaman, they are kind of doing a switch with the Flash standalone movie, and they want to go for a lighter vibe. I guess Ezra Miller's contract is basically up, and so he does not like the lighter vibe, and he is so adamant about keeping a darker origin story for the Flash that he actually wrote a draft of the screenplay, and he hired comic book writer, I think his name is Grant Morrison, to help him write it. And I guess they wrote it over the last couple months and delivered it to DC, which I just thought was so interesting that he is so serious about continuing playing this role, but he so badly does not see what the new directors see and really wants to do.
Yeah, I don't see him as a light guy.
I mean, he was great in Trainwreck in his really wacky, odd comedic cameo, but he's kind of a darker guy. I get that vibe, and I don't really, I mean, the limited knowledge I have of the Flash, I feel like the Flash is kind of more upbeat, so I don't know if it really makes sense. But either way, it's not officially announced, but rumor has it on different, you know, movie sites that Ezra's script was not picked up, and so they are going to recast and, you know, I guess just let his contract expire, because they would rather work with the directors, who are two funny guys who I believe did Game Night last year, Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly. So I think they just really want to hold on to this slightly maybe more family-friendly, comedic, lighter tone, and just say goodbye to the darker stuff. So I guess Ezra's out, but I just thought that was so interesting that he's like, I will prove to you that, like, I have good ideas for a darker story. Give me a couple months and I'll deliver the script. And I guess he did that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
You know, I thought that was interesting. But I guess ultimately, as we already know, you know, actors, even in these big budget movies with big contracts, are not as important as the creators behind the camera, you know? So, yeah. But we'll see how that goes. Yeah. We'll see who replaces him.
Right. And then, Tom, you got some news on Julianna Margulies and CBS?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's interesting that it caught my attention, because I'm not a fan. I shouldn't say I'm not a fan. I never watched The Good Wife, and I do not watch The Good Fight. But I know that they are critically and commercially acclaimed and very much beloved series.
Fantastic series.
Yep. Do you love both of them, Foom?
They're both fantastic.
Wow. Okay, cool.
So I read on Deadline just a few minutes ago before we started recording that CBS approached Julianna Margulies about reprising her role of Alicia in The Good Fight in season 3, which is currently running on CBS All Access right now. And she was super excited to come back and asked for a certain price, and CBS would not budge. And so she did not do it. And I found that super interesting because, I mean, isn't she the one that really got them the acclaim that they got for The Good Wife, right? I mean, the show was about her.
She was the lead for all the seasons.
Well, I wouldn't say that she was the lead. It was about The Good Wife, and she was the wife. But I don't think that it's necessarily accurate to say that she was the reason the show got acclaim.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like Christine Bransky was huge on that show. She did a phenomenal job. Josh Charles, Oh God, his name literally just skipped my head. Alan Cumming.
Oh, right. Yep, yep.
And also the really great Indian actress. I'm blanking on her name, but she really
Archie Punjabi.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a well casted show. All of them were phenomenal actors, and I think that they all really contributed to the success of that show. So I don't necessarily know if, like, I mean, I think it is very interesting that CBS didn't want to pay her what she wanted.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, how much could she have been asking for three episodes? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was three episodes appearance, Tom.
Yeah, a three episode arc. Yep.
Wow, how interesting. Yeah, that even if she was asking too high, it's only three episodes, and you know people would totally tune in. That is surprising.
Oh yeah.
I guess it goes to show that CBS All Access, because it's a newer streamer, is on a strict budget.
Yeah,
they'd be watching their dollars.
Yeah. And because they don't have as much money.
Totally. And I bet they spent a shit ton more money on Twilight Zone than on The Good Fight.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, yeah, when, you know, totally.
Anyway, that was my news.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right. Yeah, that is.
Fun fact, I was an extra on The Good Wife a few times. If you go back, you can, like, see me in some scenes.
Cool.
What episodes?
I really can't remember. It was a few times. I was in a scene with Archie at a bar. You can see me next to her, you know.
Oh,
so
all right.
Add that to your list.
Well, let's get into our list.
Ooh.
Tom, go take it away. What's on your list this week?
All right. I got two films. The first is The Beach Bum, which is making headlines lately all for the wrong reasons. So It is apparently Matthew McConaughey's lowest box office debut ever in wide release.
Wait, are you sure, Tom? Because he and Anne Hathaway had a very low...
I think
low...
Serenity did a little better.
You're kidding, because that movie was the lowest of their careers by far, and that came out in, like, October, I want to say?
No, it came out January of this year.
Oh, dang.
Ooh, Matthew McConaughey is not making good choices.
Yeah, wow. They said that maybe the reconnaissance is over. Anyway, so the film debuted to $1.8 million last weekend at the box office in, like, 2,000 screens. So that's a pretty wide release, if you ask me. But I went to go see it because it is a stoner movie. And, guys, I gotta say, I put that shit on my list. I don't care what the fuck the critics are saying about it. I laughed my ass off. Now,
oh, really?
It is a quirky film. It is very, very strange, very bizarre. It stars McConaughey. Isla Fisher, Jonah Hill in a really great, he has a very interesting role. He puts on a New Orleans accent. So he plays this, you know, big business guy from New Orleans.
You must have loved the New Orleans.
Oh my God. I was totally digging it. Snoop Dogg is also in it and has a very big role. And I have to say does pretty damn well, as an actor. So essentially
also,
Zac
Efron, right? And,
yes, Zac Efron plays a very crazy role too. Yep. So it's essentially about this guy named Moondog, played by Matthew McConaughey, and he's just kind of like chilling. You know, his wife is rich. His wife is Isla Fisher, and her family has had loads and loads of money for years and years. So it just keeps passing on to heirs, and so he's married to her, and they have so much money, and they live down in Miami, and he just takes his boat down to the Florida Keys and gets stoned all day and all night, hangs out with Snoop Dogg's character, who he buys weed from, and Jonah Hill's character, who he also buys weed from. And I loved it. It's a very upbeat movie at times. It is dark because the director who did it is also the director who did Spring Breakers.
Yes,
and I'm
which
blanking
Tom and I
on
saw.
The name right now.
Harmony Korine.
Yeah, yes. That's it.
And Spring Breakers, Tom, was, you know, overall it was good, but it got really dark and kind of scary and, like, twisted and weird.
Yeah, this movie never quite goes there. It stays a little more lighthearted. Good. I mean, it is, the humor is fucked up. Like, to give you one instance, there's a scene where Matthew McConaughey is stoned off his ass, and this guy is on a pier practicing a tuba, and he's, like, standing on the ledge of the pier. And I said to myself, I said, oh, my God, he's going to push him in the water. And then he walked in and pushes the tuba guy in the water, and I was just cracking up. Everybody else in the theater must have been thinking that I was high myself. because I was just having too much of a good time. But I liked it. I mean, check it out. It's It's interesting. It's quirky. Certainly not the best movie of the year, but Miami and Key West make for some beautiful backdrops. Really, really beautiful backdrops and cinematography. And yeah, I dug it. It's not nearly as bad as critics are saying.
Wow. And Martin Lawrence is in it, I think I saw on the poster, right?
Yep. Oh yeah. Something really fucks up happens
to him.
He
hasn't been around in a while, so that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, he's got a good scene. He runs like a makeshift dolphin sighting tour. But it's like on this rickety ass boat that's falling apart. And he gets like all the Midwesterners who are like, "Oh, we wanna go see some dolphins." And there's just this one scene where he takes them out and he thinks that they've spotted dolphins, but it's actually sharks. So it's really funny.
Your favorite thing.
Yeah, my favorite thing. Not.
Yeah, right.
So that is The Beach Bum. I don't know what went wrong with the movie. Maybe they didn't market it well. I don't know.
Weed humor is for a very niche. Yeah. Market, like, not a lot of people really want to watch that stuff.
Also,
yeah, but then you think of Pineapple Express, which was a major hit,
was a major hit and funny, but that was like very not general audience, but that was like a big kind of general appeal movie. This, I feel like, is with Harmony Korine, like, it's very indie, very niche, very kind of trippy and weird, and it's definitely his biggest all-star cast so far, I'd say. I mean, these are big names, but I think, like you said, Voom, I think also like weed humor, I'm sure a lot of people will just watch that at home and not actually leave their weed dens for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it was a role of a lifetime for Matthew, though.
Oh, God. He probably didn't have to act much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's The Beach Bum. Second thing on my list, another movie that is struggling at the box office, but I thought it was absolutely fantastic, Best of Enemies.
Wow.
So it is Taraji P. Henson and Sam Rockwell's latest outing, and it's essentially about Sam Rockwell plays a character who is the head of the local KKK chapter in Durham, North Carolina, in the mid-70s. And Taraji Henson plays an activist in that town as well, right? She being black, he being white. They obviously don't see eye to eye. Well, the KKK chapter burns down a school that was attended for blacks, and in the process, they don't realize, well, you know what? These kids are still going to have to go to school somewhere, even though you done burned the damn thing down. And so they're essentially forced to have to integrate a school that people really weren't feeling the integration thing, right? And so somebody from the NAACP comes in, and he kind of becomes like a moderator over 2 weeks, and he gets the groups together to sit in the same auditorium over two weekends, 12 hours a day, talk about, you know, what their fears and hesitations are on both sides, how they can work this out, and then they put the whole thing up to a vote. It's actually a true story. It happened. But I won't give anything away because it's actually really fascinating, and you should go check it out for yourself if you don't know the history of the situation. But I liked it. I mean, we were all chatting offline maybe a week or two ago, the three of us, and we said that it just felt way too soon to release another race history movie after Green Book and the backlash it received, right? Despite the fact that it won Best Picture. And also, wasn't there another really big civil rights movie last year?
Well, there was... the one you saw, was it called Detroit?
No, that was 2 years ago.
Oh, gosh, already. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like there was another one last year that was a major success. And I'm blanking on it right now. But we were saying, you know, it's probably too soon to release it. I, again, don't understand what went wrong. The critics were kind of, they thought it was okay. It came in at like a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. It definitely deserves way higher than that. Taraji is awesome. Like, she totally disappears into that role. She is such a good actress. Sam Rockwell, he kind of plays a character similar to what he played in Three Billboards, right? Starts out as a real dick, and then his character gets a kind of change of heart midway through the movie. Anne Heche plays his wife. She was very good in a supporting role. Yeah. Huh. She plays white trash so well.
Yeah. I know what you did last summer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. 6 days, 7 nights. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But anyway, I loved Best of Enemies. I thought it was good. I would say it's probably this might be controversial, but it's probably a stronger movie than Green Book.
Whoa, and you loved Green
Book. Oh, Black Klansman, that's what I'm thinking right, of. The other major race movie last year.
Of course, of course.
Not as good as Black Klansman. I loved Black Klansman, but I would say it's better than Green Book.
Wow. So
definitely check it out. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Do you
it's
think really this will be around at the end of the year for awards, or no?
No.
Not
way.
Even like Best Actress or anything?
No, it only made $4 million this weekend on a major wide release.
Who was the studio?
A24.
Mm. Oh, they had
they're
that.
Having financial. Are they the ones having financial problems?
I think so.
Yeah, because they didn't market it well.
Not at all.
I think maybe, I don't know, the whole thing is weird. I don't know why it was released now, so soon after awards, where we saw movies with similar tones and stories. And I think also, guys, Taraji and Sam Rockwell are both kind of at the point where they're like a little oversaturated. I feel like we just see a lot of Taraji with Empire, with What Men Want, and then Sam Rockwell just with Three Billboards, and then Vice, and like we have Fosse Verdon coming out. I just feel I feel like the two of them have just a lot going on, and it's kind of like when you see them, and then you see that they're in a movie that has the same themes as other movies you just recently saw. It's like, I need a break, right? So. Hmm. But that's good. That's great. It's good.
I loved it.
I was surprised by that. I feel like, I don't know, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was sort of like a dud, but all right, cool.
A24 isn't the one I was thinking had financial problems. It's the one Megan.
Oh, Annapurna.
Annapurna. That's the one. That's what I was thinking. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, cool. Good list. Mark, what do you got?
Cool. So I also have two movies. How funny. I have two movies on my list this week. First up, in Woodstock, I wanted to check out this cute little movie theater, Upstate Films Woodstock. It's basically like a house-turned movie theater and surprisingly had...
Love it.
Yeah, I love it. I'm always up for to any, you know, small little indie theater and see what it's like. And I was shocked. The sound and the projector were beautiful. Everything was great. I was like, wow, this is a perfect little theater. Too bad the movie I picked isn't so good. I admit I picked a dud, and that dud is Gloria Bell.
Ooh, the critics are loving it, but...
The critics are loving it, and I do not understand why. So, guys, unfortunately, Gloria Bell is okay to miss. Let me tell you what it's about, and you will probably understand. It's so funny how, like, when I see a movie, right off the bat, I'm like, okay, this is an add this to your list. And then, like, halfway through, I'm like, this is a one and done. And then by the end, I was like... This isn't okay to miss. I can't believe I just made us do that on our weekend. Anyway, so Gloria Bell, it's actually a remake of a foreign film called Gloria that came out a couple years ago. And both films were written and directed by the same man. So he totally remade his film for an American audience. And that is Sebastian Lelio. So the original film was Gloria. This is called Gloria Bell. And it stars a big cast led by Julianne Moore, who I love. I think she's great in everything. Even if she's in a dud, she is still great. Julianne Moore, John Turturro, Michael Cera, Brad Garrett, Gene Triplehorn, Rita Wilson, Sean Astin in an odd, wordless role, and Holland Taylor. Lots of big names, lots of good people. The movie, the story is basically... She's this kind of free-spirited mid-50s divorcee. She got divorced like 12 years ago, though, so she's not newly divorced. But she talks about being divorced a lot. I had heard and seen the trailers, and I, you know, this was on my radar, so I was like, oh, I want to see a movie about Julianne Moore navigating life and dancing in clubs in L.A. All the summaries said she's this middle-aged divorcee who loves to go clubbing by herself and just dance to, like, disco and... That's her thing. And I thought, oh my God, I will gladly pay money to see Julianne Moore dancing in a club. First of all, she doesn't really dance all that much in the movie. And I was like, what? This is false advertising. I just was like, I will watch like 10 minutes here and there of Julianne Moore dancing. And you get like 10 minutes total in the whole movie. She finds love in John Turturro, who is great. And he is also a recent divorcee. But... guys, the movie is just not good and it's boring. And I never really felt for her because I didn't find her life that messy. I don't know if we were supposed to think that she's very mousy and she's way too nice and now she's kind of finding her voice. the script does not show us much of an arc, but then it shows you these things that it's not just kind of like slice of life, like day to day. It's weird. It was very tone deaf, and it's a shame because there are a couple really good moments. The end is really good. There's a couple really good moments that I was like, man, they had some good little kernels of things here, but they introduce us to characters and to storylines that you never hear about ever again, which I cannot stand. So many people kind of like piss her off, and I'm thinking, okay, at the end, she's going to tell them like, F you, F you. It's just, it's a dud. It's a total dud. And you know,
somebody told me they'd rather watch paint dry.
Oh, you know someone that saw it, Tom?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. Like I was thinking of like other movies I hated. I'm like, I actually want to watch that over this. Like,
I have to say, I saw this when we were going to go to Toronto.
Toronto, yep.
This did not appeal to me. I didn't see it, but I was like when I was deciding what I was going to watch, and I was like, I wonder why Julianne Moore would do this kind of movie. Like, I didn't.
Totally.
I didn't get it.
I see on Wiki. Yeah, it premiered at Toronto. Totally.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, I totally see why she would want to do it because, of course, as we already know, there are few theatrical movie roles for women of a certain age, especially when it's a single woman and she's kind of navigating life and maybe kind of getting like a second wind. But it's just not good. And then when I saw her name in the credits as executive producer, I was kind of like, Julianne, this is so obviously like a vanity project, and you weren't really looking at it script wise you were looking at it performance wise and don't get me wrong, she's great and she looks great, and also I had no idea you'd be seeing her naked bod throughout the whole movie. She looks fantastic, but like, whoa. And then she and John Turturro are having lots of sex. So warning, old people sex all throughout this movie. I was not prepared for that. Yeah, guys, I can't really say more without giving something away, but it's a dud. It's an okay to miss. We were talking on the car ride home of like, that scene would have been great if this happened. And then we're both like, oh my God, you're right. That would have been awesome. Like, they left so many threads just hanging. And I am shocked someone said, yeah, this is a great script. Let's make it. Come on, guys. So that's Gloria Bell. Sorry, Julianne. Next time. My next movie, I was catching up from a movie that came out in the fall. And guys, total opposite. I love it so much. And I hope it gets more of a cult following. I think it was a moderate success, but you didn't hear a ton of people talk about it. And that movie is Eli Roth's The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did you guys check this out back in October?
No, it seemed too much like a kids movie for
totally
me.
That's what I thought too.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, it definitely is family friendly, but I rented it from the library and it was totally on my radar, and I'm okay watching like kind of like a kids Halloween movie. And it's really interesting. It's definitely a kids movie, but adults, especially like us, who if you enjoy quirky, odd, kind of haunted house type things that are not really scary, they're just odd, I think you'll totally enjoy it. I loved it so much. One of the critics had said it's Eli Roth's best movie, and honestly, it is. It's beautifully beautifully made. The shots, the CGI, guys, it is a feast for your eyes.
Kate looks like she's having a good time too.
Oh yeah, it stars Kate Blanchett, Jack Black, this great little boy who is, I mean, I don't want to out him, but I mean, he's totally gay and I loved it. Owen Vaccaro, also with good little supporting roles from Kyle MacLachlan and Renee Elise Goldsberry, who we know from Hamilton on Broadway. But so basically, guys, it's this young boy who, because his parents had died in a recent car accident, he is sent to live with his uncle Jonathan in his creaky old house that is very Tim Burton-esque. It's very Addams Family. You know, he's that neighbor that everyone hates and thinks is weird and makes noise all hours of the night. And soon the young boy Lewis realizes that his uncle Jonathan is a wizard. And Kate Blanchett, who is a neighbor next door, they have a very funny, odd, platonic friendship. They are not a couple, but she's a witch who is having trouble with her powers. It is super quirky. I would say it's like Beetlejuice meets Harry Potter meets Addams Family in the whole realm of like an R.L. Stein series.
Yeah, yeah, totally goosebump vibe.
And
yep.
Yes, you will see things that like I was laughing to myself. I mean, it's so bizarre in such a beautiful way. It's so quirky. I really want to say what I saw, but I really don't want to give away because it wasn't spoiled for me. But I think it's totally worth a rent. I think You guys would have so much fun with it. It's not scary for anyone out there who doesn't like scary stuff. It's not scary at all. It's just all the fun of like a Halloween type movie. You know, pumpkins are coming alive and people have powers and there's a villain. And it's just really fun. And I would even say there's like a dash of the kind of the Goonies thrown in there. It's very lively. And like I said, it's a really well-made movie. Technically, the script worked for me. The acting was great. I give Eli Roth mad props for making a good, you know, kid-friendly Halloween movie. So, check it out. The house with a clock in its walls. Yeah. If I had my way, that'd be great to see a sequel. I don't know if it made enough money. I don't know if there's even room for a sequel. I think it's based on a book. It's based on a 1973 novel, which is actually so funny because the whole time I was watching it, I felt like, this is like a current modern movie that feels like it was done decades ago. So,
yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. So check it out. It's totally zany and I really had a good time with it. Add it to your list.
Okay. I will go last. So the first thing on my list is Growing. It's Amy Schumer's new stand-up on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is an add us to your list. You guys, oh, it's good. So funny.
We is she pregnant in
yeah.
the... Okay.
Yeah. We know what an atrocity her last stand-up was, the leather special, where she just looked uncomfortable the whole time.
Oh, I don't think I know about that. Oh.
Oh, my God. It's on Netflix. Bad. Don't even bother watching it.
Wow.
It's garbage.
Okay.
But Growing is great. So she is pregnant while she's doing it, and she... The first thing she says is like, oh, people love it. We're like, oh, Amy, your work ethic is so good. Look at you still working. And she's like, nah, bitch, I'm contractually obligated to be here. I'm gonna get sued if I'm not doing this. She's like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm tired. She's talking about how she throws up every day because she has this condition with her pregnancy. But it was so hilarious. It was just like, I was getting a little nervous for her career for a second there, not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
But this was... so hilarious. Or some standout moments is when she's talking about her pregnancy. She like lifts up, she's like wearing this like muumuu dress, and she like lifts it up to show her belly, and she talks about how she had to put tape on her belly button because it was growing to like some crazy abnormality. She didn't want people to see it, which is so funny. And then she talks about, remember how she got arrested last year because she was opposing Brett Kavanaugh confirmation.
Yeah.
She talks about that, but she talks about how she knew she was going to get arrested when she went down there, but her biggest fear was that she wasn't going to be able to eat for like a bunch of hours, so she was just like shoving food in her mouth for when she was going to be in prison. And then, oh my God, there's this one joke about the Diva Cup. I don't know if you guys know what this is, but it's basically this cup for women. So you don't have to buy, like, tampons and, like, pads anymore that you, like, stick inside yourself when you're having your period. There is this joke she says about the Diva Cup. I literally burst out into laughter. I cried. I had to rewind and watch it again. It was so fucking funny.
Wow.
It is hilarious. She actually does a really good job. I mean, she talks
like
about her husband and her, the fact that he has autism.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she didn't realize, like, she was like, you know, she kind of realized that things were a little different with him when she fell on their date. And like 10 out of 10 people would be like, oh my God, are you okay? But he just like stood at her and like didn't say anything. She was kind of looking up at him from the ground like, what's going on here?
Oh my God.
So it's really, really funny. I mean, add it to your list, Growing, it's only an hour. It is so good because I was nervous.
Yeah.
I was nervous that it was going to be bad because, woo, the leather special?
Wow.
Oh my God, it was bad. Holy shit, it was bad.
What made it so bad? It just
her jokes didn't land. They were flat. It was not funny. And she literally looked uncomfortable because she wore a leather outfit and you could tell she couldn't like breathe or move.
Oh, God.
So like it was just bad. It was so, so bad. But Growing is fantastic.
Wow. Cool. Okay. Yeah. That's definitely on my radar.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll make you laugh for sure. The next thing on my list is, as I mentioned earlier, Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to hear what you guys think. I wasn't able to see it, but I look so good.
Yeah, it was really good. It's definitely an ad. It just came out on Friday. Obviously, Stephen King is having a moment because with Pet Sematary and then It in chapter 2. So, you know, it's all about Stephen King right now. So I'm going to say that Pet Sematary, I think, I can't know for sure, but I'm almost positive it's almost like directly like the original.
Okay, yeah, I just recently rewatched the original.
Similar,
it was on
yeah.
Prime, and I think it might still be on Hulu. And a lot of people I didn't realize really hate on the original. I think it's great.
Yeah. It's so funny, so that because the person I was with, she was like not into the original at all.
Oh, okay.
She's like, the only reason why I wanted to come to this because I felt like it's not going to be anything like the original, but I kind of feel like it kind of was. So just to remind everyone, it follows a family. They move into a new house. There's like this weird cemetery. It's spelled wrong. Yeah. It's all about pets, and then it like brings dead people back to life, but they come back wrong. So this one follows Dr. Creed and his family, the wife Rachel, daughter Ellie, son Gage. They're this cute little family. They move into this like secluded farmhouse. And I gotta say, only white people do this. What is with moving into the woods where you don't like have neighbors? Like, what is that about?
No. That new movie, The Intruder, coming out with Dennis Quaid, which looks awful, is a black family.
Oh, you think it looks awful? I kind of think that looks good. I think it looks good, too.
But we don't know what the neighborhood looks like.
But honestly, Foom, I can't wait to move to a secluded farmhouse.
Yeah, see?
For real.
Exactly. You guys are fucking weird. But anyway, so they move in. They have a neighbor, John Lithgow, but he, like, lives, like, a little bit of a truck away. And they live on this really crazy road where trucks just, like zoom by. It's like actually kind of terrifying for little kids to have to live on a road like that.
It's like part of a main route or something where trucks
I don't know what it is, but like those trucks just like drive without a care in the world. Like they clearly don't think that they're gonna be hitting nobody or nothing. So anyway, this family moves there. Dr. Creed, played by Jason Clark, is a doctor. I think he just does like general like medicine. Like I think he's just like a general practitioner. And he has a patient who's a student who gets hit by a car and he dies. And then all of a sudden this guy is like this like, I don't know, like gateway to the afterlife that like shows him all of these strange things. Like the connection between that character and what happens at his home, like I don't really think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I kind of felt that way in the original too. It's sort of, I almost feel like you don't always really need that character, but maybe you do. Yeah,
it was weird. But anyway, and so then, you know, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you know what happens.
Okay, yeah, okay.
The daughter dies.
Well, yeah, and that's interesting. This new one, that's in the trailer, so that's not even a spoiler. But in the new one, it's all about the daughter dying. In the original, in the book,
it's the son.
It's the son.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The daughter dies. The dad brings her back to life, but she don't come back right.
Right. Okay?
And I gotta say, this movie does not end happy.
No.
Or good, or in any way, shape, or form.
Oh,
this is like a sad.
Stephen King was
sad ending.
He even was quoted recently saying, like, this book, when he wrote it years ago, back in the 80s, like, it is dark, and it, like, he was surprised it, like, came out of him. Yeah.
Well, it's about grief, right? It's about grief and our inability to deal with it sometimes, and the way that we want to hang on to it, and just our overall general fear of death, and it's unnecessary to be so afraid of death. So yeah, no, that's dark material.
And I heard they had three different endings for this movie, and they said it was either the dark one, the darker one, or the darkest ending. So
no
matter what,
I'm curious to know which one they went with, because I mean, Tom, you saw it too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was like expecting some semblance of some happiness, but it was none.
Yeah.
Not ma'am.
Yeah. What did you think, Tom? Did you like it too?
I did, yeah. I liked it a lot. I thought it was pretty creepy.
Was it, did it scare you guys? Was it scary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It didn't scare me, no.
Oh, okay, no.
No, I don't think any part of it was scary, but I did think the acting was good. I thought the story was good. The daughter was a little odd, how she just didn't understand, like, I don't think the parents ever talked to her about talking to strangers.
Oh.
She would just, like, go. So John Lithgow is a neighbor, and she basically, like, would just go into his house and bring him cookies. I thought that was very weird.
Weird. There's some stuff that might have worked in the 1980s that
but not
they
in
should have refreshed it a little bit. Yeah.
And does this new one take place in the 80s, or it's current?
No, current.
No, it's current.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Are there, like, cell phones and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fully modern day. And then the wife, Rachel, has a trauma in her childhood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And so scary.
That was super, that was creepy. The trauma with the sister was creepy, but I also found the character to be a little annoying.
Okay, yeah. In the original movie, Zelda freaked me the F out and was actually a male actor dressed up in drag as a girl, which just made it even scarier. Oh, my God. I had nightmares about Zelda. Oh, my God.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. You should watch the original. It's pretty good. It's pretty wacky.
Yeah, I'll check it out. So that's basically it. I mean, it's definitely ad, but... You know, it just sounds dark, so be prepared for that.
Okay, all right. But not a disappointment overall.
No, not at all. No. All right, well, that's our list. We had, as ads, The Beach Bum, Best of Enemies, The House with the Clock in Its Walls, Growing in Pet Cemetery, and an Okay to Miss, Gloria Bell. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Julianne. This is not, we can't all be winners, right?
Nope, we sure can't.
All right, so before we go, we want to talk about CinemaCon. So this is a, what do you call this? It's like a...
It's an exhibition, really, for cinema owners, yeah. I think, right?
In Vegas.
Yeah, so that's how it started, yeah. In Vegas, yeah. Yep.
So it's an official convention for the National Association of Theater Owners. It happens in Vegas every year. This started in 2011, so...
yeah, only like 8 years now. It's still pretty young.
It's still pretty young, still pretty new. It went on during April 1st to the 5th, so it literally, like, just ended. And some takeaways out of it this year. Big thing, Disney-Fox merger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys know that Disney's going to have 22 films out in 2019? That is insane.
That's crazy talk. And they're all massive films. I didn't realize until I was catching up about this CinemaCon. They have Frozen 2, because it's the stuff we've already talked about. Aladdin, Dumbo, Captain Marvel, Lion King. But then there's Frozen 2. There's Star Wars. I forgot they have another Star Wars this year. I mean, big shit, guys.
Big names. Huge names. But then with the Fox merger, they take on all of their films.
Totally.
So crazy.
Yeah.
So that was big takeaway. Haters gonna hate. I don't know why people keep hating on Disney. Leave them alone. I mean, Netflix. Leave them alone.
Yeah, I still don't really get it, guys. Why did Helen Mirren say, I love Netflix, but fuck Netflix?
Somebody probably paid her to
Well,
do
it's
it.
A, guys, it's know. A it's a cinema convention. Come
it's,
on.
Yeah, it's all I guess all about doing it theatrically.
Yeah, but Netflix is part of the Motion Pictures Association, so they're part of, like, they're part of it now. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, like, you know, drop it already. You guys sound like stupid. Anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger was huge because it's all about the Terminator.
Yes.
That's coming back, and people were super excited about that.
Do you guys think the new Terminator reboot is going to have the success that Halloween reboot had? Because that's its most easy comparison.
Totally. Probably. Yeah. Well, that's actually something that I might as well just go into it now. That's on my radar. I'm actually quite intrigued how that would go. I'd say out of everything, obviously the Joker is a big one, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that we saw the trailer. But I'm really intrigued about this new Terminator because it's bringing back Arnold and bringing back Linda Hamilton in a very Jamie Lee Curtis way. And James Cameron will be producing this. Tim Miller, who's done like Deadpool and a lot of big stuff, is directing. But I feel like this might actually be really good. Like,
I think it's going to be good too.
I love
zero interest.
Oh yeah, see, I loved Terminator 1 and 2. Terminator 2.
I hate those movies.
Oh wow, Terminator 2 is one of the best sequels in the world. It makes you cry. It's emotional. It's action packed. It's suspenseful, and Linda Hamilton was like so badass, so to bring her back could be really interesting. And yeah, like you said, Tom, it's directly kind of comparable to Halloween because it's ignoring all sequels in the franchise,
even T2.
No, since pick up after T2. So, and you know, this franchise has been very hit or miss. Basically the first couple were great, and then ever since that, I haven't even seen the last one. It really stumbled. So personally, I'm intrigued how... I mean, I'm not super excited. I don't want to get my hopes up, but this could be kind of awesome, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You know? Well, you started it, so let's continue on. Like, you know, so basically, these were... I mean, they had The Lion King, Avengers, Hobbs and Shaw, It Chapter 2, Toy Story 4, Ma. I mean, obviously, all
Doctor
of these
Sleep.
Are... yeah.
The Shining sequel.
Oh, that's right, Dr. Sleep, of course.
That we knew were coming out, but these were all things that, like, there were, you know, topics and panels and little snippets of, like, scenes and trailers shown at CinemaCon. What stood out to you guys? What do you think you're most excited about? Because for me, I'm going to say, aside from Avengers Endgame, I mean, duh. Hobbs and Shaw, duh. It Chapter 2, duh. Lion King. These are all obvious.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by two other films. Will Smith's Genie Man, which was I guess, being directed by Ang Lee.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I heard a little bit about that.
And it's basically like he's playing an older hitman who's basically running away from his younger self. And apparently they do an amazing job of making Will Smith, like, young. But, like, not weird, but, like, exactly how we remember him when he was younger acting in films.
Crazy.
And then Knives Out, which is with your girl.
That's mine, too. Yes. That was my most anticipated
film.
That
sounds, that's, because it's like, almost sounds like a modern day Clue.
Yes.
And I
love
Clue.
So good.
Well, Clue, or, it, to me, it sounds more like an Agatha, I get a darker sense. I, like, get an Agatha Christie.
Yeah, and I think Rian
like
Johnson,
what?
Agatha Christie.
Like an Agatha Christie novel.
Oh, an Agatha Christie novel, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
And I can't wait to see Chris Evans play a jerk off, because he's always so nice.
Yeah.
And he's so fucking hot, so a mean Chris Evans might be even hotter.
I know, it's a huge, who's in it, Tom? It's Chris Evans, Jamie Lee,
Daniel Craig, Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah,
there's
the
a
cast
bunch
is
of people
amazing.
Yeah, it sounds so good. And some Toni Collette's in it, who's
Toni
like
Collette.
A,
yep,
she's having like a total horror wave right now, and I'm all for it. But yeah, it's like a murder mystery with a family in like some big southern like mansion or something, right?
Yeah,
That's my number one anticipated.
And it's like whodunit. So I think that that's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, and it's coming out in late November.
Yeah,
so who knows?
Yeah, that's interesting.
A good time for the holidays.
And I feel like that's one of the very few movies on this whole list that, like, we didn't really hear anything about, right? Did you guys?
No, nothing.
Right?
Nada. Nope. Zip.
They
did
kept
not
that
know
quiet.
It was coming out.
Nope. Yeah, totally. And then, yeah, the what do you guys think of the Joker trailer? That was the biggest thing we've seen so far.
It looks good.
It looks good.
I mean, I'm not into superhero movies at all, but it looks interesting. It looks like it's a fresh take on the story, because there really is no origin story for him.
I think Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor. I think that anything he does, he always puts like a really interesting spin on it. So I'm interested to see how he does. I know a lot of people are comparing him to Heath Ledger.
Totally, yeah.
But I think Joaquin's gonna make his own lane in it.
Right, and it just looks so interesting and new for a kind of movie in the superhero world, because it feels very much like a gritty, dark drama. You don't really even get the vibe that it's anything to do with like Batman, which I like.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know? Yep. Totally. Yeah, that'll be interesting. So I guess Jared Leto's like, he was like a one and done. He just did the Suicide Squad and that was it. They didn't ask him back for.
Do you think he was even that good as Joker? That movie was so bad anyway.
I didn't even see it yet. I'll see it one day, but I'm just surprised because I feel like he had just won the Oscar, and then it was announced he was the Joker, and then he got even more super fit, and then was he just really bad in that role?
It was a little too
much.
Like, I feel like you can take depth into the character of the Joker, which I think Joaquin Phoenix will do.
Yeah.
But, like, Jared Leto just went a little too on the crazy side. Like, like you couldn't really see anything other than him just being weird, which I get that's who he's – I get – that that's what the Joker is, but I was just kind of expecting a little more.
Right. Interesting. Mm. Yeah. Cool. All exciting movies for sure. CinemaCon is like always exciting. I remember we were this excited last year too. We're like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be good. And there's a lot of really good movies coming out in 2019. So I know that they said, I was reading an article about it on Business Insider, and they said that the 2018 box office was $11.9 billion domestic, $41.1 billion global, and 263 million tickets sold. Oh. So we'll see how all of these films for 2019, especially with Avengers Endgame, that alone will probably like it half of those numbers.
It's crazy. Oh my God. Seriously.
So we'll see how they do, how the domestic box office does for 2019.
I know I say it every time we talk about it, but I really got to catch up on my Avengers movies because I really am starting to feel like I'm like out of the loop. Like, because I watch some of them and I like some of them, but like, whoa, I'm
well, what's preventing you, Mark?
Just other things seem more interesting to me, but you know, like I just saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, but that's on Netflix. That one was fine. You know, it's good.
It was okay.
I mean, what'd you say, Foom?
It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love Paul Rudd in that role, and, like, he's perfect for it. And a good cast, for sure, but, like, I already don't really remember what happened. You know, some of them are kind of, like, they just float on. But, like, the actual, like, Avengers movies, I've only seen the first one. I need to see, like, 2 and 3 and, like, yeah, I know, Boom. You need to help me.
This is 10 years of movies. I know. You gotta catch up, Boom.
Oh, God, I'm sweating. I'm sweating thinking about it. I'll catch up one day. What? Because a new one comes out already in, like, what, like, 2 weeks?
End of the month, honey.
Did you get your tickets, Boom? Because it broke all sorts of records.
I know. Not yet. I actually never have issues getting tickets to see Avengers, even though people are like, oh, my God, I never, ever have issues. I haven't gotten them yet. But trust and believe, I will be there that Friday. What?
Wow.
Can't wait. Hey.
I'm shocked you wouldn't go, like, at midnight, like, or on Thursday, because I'm sure they'll have Thursday
shows. I gotta
go
to bed. What are you talking about?
All right.
I gotta go to sleep, honey. Work the next day. What are you saying? Well, that's our show for today. So we want to give a huge shout out and thank you always to Greg, Jay Lifton, and Allie for contributing to Add This to Your List. We thank you so much for all that you guys have done. Leave us a review, leave us a rating. I mean, people, let us know what you think about us. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Yeah. We will discuss about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, and we are on, what else? Stitcher
and Google Play.
Mm-hmm. And then follow our social handles. You're at this point, you should know what they are. Add to your list. But follow us, people, you know?
Yeah, please.
And that's it. We'll see you guys.
That's a wrap.
All right, bye, y'all.